This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Lily Jamali. Reckless arson and involuntary manslaughter are among the charges that the top prosecutor up north in Butte County may soon level against California's largest utility, PG&E. District Attorney Mike Ramsey received a report from Cal Fire investigators Wednesday, and it confirms what PG&E had already all but acknowledged, that its equipment caused November's campfire, the deadliest and most destructive blaze in state history. Earlier, I spoke with KQED editor Dan Brecke, and I began by asking whether potential charges, including homicide, are unusual in a case like this.
The typical charges you see for a utility or some kind of corporate entity that might be implicated in starting a wildfire is breaking state laws that regulate the clearance that's needed between trees and other vegetation and power lines. For there to be a potential felony charge and one that could involve homicide, involuntary manslaughter is a homicide charge, is extremely unusual, even against an individual, much less a company. So, yeah, we're talking about something that is a departure from the normal case that we've seen. However, this is not the normal case. I mean, we have to bear in mind what the context is here. The campfire is historic. 85 people were killed and nearly 14,000 homes were destroyed. So this is anything but the typical fire that may have been investigated in the past.
Now, Dan, given that PG&E is already under federal felony probation for the San Bruno explosion in which people died, is this unusual even in that context?
It's very different from San Bruno in one important respect. When federal prosecutors went after PG&E after San Bruno, they went after them for sort of technical violations of federal pipeline safety laws and for obstructing a National Transportation Safety Board investigation. And in this case, by contrast, they could be looking at federal charges for taking somebody's life or for recklessly burning down their property. And these are criminal charges that, if brought against a person, would probably result in jail time if there was a guilty verdict. So this is dramatically different.
And Dan, finally, what does this mean for ratepayers?
It's too early to say. We know that PG&E and the other big investor-owned utilities are going to work very, very hard this year to get the legislature and the governor to sign on to some sort of plan that offers them some sort of relief in terms of a state-backed insurance fund, and perhaps significantly higher rates for customers. They've already said that. All those discussions will play out over the next several months.
KQED editor Dan Brecke, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Now to the impact that this will all have on the tens of thousands of campfire survivors. The official finding that PG&E is responsible for sparking the blaze won't change much legally for them. But one victim's attorney tells KQED's Marisa Lagos the announcement does provide some clarity for her clients.
Amanda Riddle is representing thousands of Californians suing PG&E for a slew of fires the utility sparked in recent years, including 1,800 people who lost their homes in the campfire.
It's always helpful to have a Cal Fire report that confirms what we already knew, which is that PG&E's electrical transmission tower caused the campfire. I think it helps the public's understanding of the cause of the fire. It helps members of the public who were impacted understand that they do have a right to compensation from PG&E.
Riddle says the Cal Fire report isn't actually admissible in civil court, but the survivors can call Cal Fire investigators to testify. For the California Report, I'm Marisa Lagos.
Let's turn now to the University of California system, where thousands of union workers plan to walk off the job today at campuses and medical centers around the state. This is the fifth one-day strike within the UC system since last May and the third in the past 3 months. AFSCME Local 3299 spokesperson John D. Los Angeles says the dispute is over job security.
What we're talking about are three separate charges that involved the university making plans to outsource workers without first meeting and conferring with those workers about the plans.
A UC spokeswoman said in an email that the union's claims are unfounded and that AFSCME's real reason for continual strike activity is to gain leverage in negotiations. Meanwhile, tensions are high at California's community colleges as well. The Faculty Association took a unanimous vote of no confidence in the statewide chancellor and his administration. It's the first time they've taken this step in 20 years. KQED's Vanessa Roncagno has more.
Community colleges are in the middle of putting in place a series of major reforms, and some aren't happy about the changes. An overhaul of how the colleges are funded has people frustrated. So does the creation of an online college and big changes to remedial education. Faculty Association Executive Director Evan Hawkins says instructors got sidelined in the chancellor's decision-making process.
He's never going to be successful if he doesn't have faculty on board. And we just feel like we have some ideas that just are not being listened to.
In a statement, the president of the Community Colleges Board of Governors said the colleges are committed to seeing the reforms through for the good of students. For the California Report, I'm Vanessa Rancagno.
In Sacramento, it's going to be a make-or-break day for hundreds of bills, specifically the kind that cost you, the taxpayer, money. As KQED's Katie Orr explains, both houses of the legislature will decide on legislation parked in what's called the suspense file.
Suspense is the right word, as legislators wait to learn the fate of hundreds of bills that have been in limbo for weeks. Their future will be determined in rapid-fire fashion when a single decision will either move a bill forward or kill it for the year. Most bills sent to the Appropriations Committees are placed on suspense as lawmakers figure out their legislative priorities and try to chisel away at some of the cost. Notable bills include one which would allow some child care workers to unionize, another would expand consumer privacy rights, and one would provide developers with incentives to build homes near mass transit or job-rich areas. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
Support for the California Report comes from Personal Capital, providing customers a real-time dashboard view into all of their financial accounts with insight-driven wealth advisory services. PersonalCapital.com. Energy Upgrade California, urging Californians to keep it golden through simple acts like unplugging unused devices. EnergyUpgradeCalifornia.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
And that is the California Report. I'm Lily Jamali. Have a great day, everyone.